success looks so easy from the outside, but all successful people have had to overcome enormous obstacles along the way, and in many cases, look failure right in the eye. Most successful people don't focus on the struggle, and they rarely talk about it because that's not what creates success. Join us here, where we'll chat with serial entrepreneurs, both men and women, and share the good, the bad, and the ugly of entrepreneurship. We'll talk about the obstacles we faced and how to overcome them to reach the success that you desire. I am your host, Cami Lehman, and this is She's Invincible. Hey everyone, thank you so much for joining us today on She's Invincible. And we have an invincible one to introduce you to today. Andrea Libros is the big thinking expert for high achieving women entrepreneurs. She helps these bold, ambitious women make the shift from thinking small and feeling overwhelmed in business and life to getting the clarity, confidence, and freedom they crave. Andrea believes that the secret sauce to thinking big and creating big results that you're worthy and capable of has just two ingredients: solid systems and the right big mindset. She is the author of bestseller She Thinks Big, the entrepreneurial women's guide to moving past the messy middle and into the extraordinary, and host of the Time to Level Up podcast. Oh my gosh, Andrea, welcome to She's Invincible. I'm so excited to have you here today.
I am so happy to be here, Cami.
Oh my gosh, so fun. I love all of this. I love Level Up. I love the messy middle. I love it all. Let's jump in. Let's tell our listeners, how in the world did you get where you are today? And what makes you invincible?
So I got where I am today really through lots of experience, you know, experiences, and looking at them together as a body of work in a way. For 10 years, I worked for a company where I was recruiting and hiring and training new entrepreneurs, new business owners. They were almost owning franchises of this parent company I worked for. And what I realized, why did I stay there for 10 years? I realized that what I loved the most is what they were calling training, but what I would really now in retrospect call coaching, and coaching them through the messy middle, which is the part where the excitement has died down. You have this business, it's profitable, you're moving, people are coming to you, and all of a sudden it feels really heavy. And you start to wonder, how am I going to do this? What am I going to do? And then you also start to have all of these feelings around, okay, is this business now interfering too much with my family? Am I not able to live the life I want to live? That's all the messy middle. So I really actually enjoyed helping women through that period of time so that they could get to the other side and create the extraordinary business and life they wanted. But then also, you know, those things are cyclical. The messy middle comes back.
The messy middle comes back. New level, new devil, right?
Yes, yes, yes. So that's, after working for them for 10 years, and then I had lots of experience in different areas of the world and industries before then, putting that all together in 2018, I started my own coaching practice. So that's where I've been for the last 6 years in my own Zoom room, we'll call it. Although it wasn't Zoom. In the first couple of years, I wasn't in a Zoom room.
Yeah.
Since 2020, I've been in a Zoom room.
Yeah. I think we all been there with you, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Amazing. Amazing. So what prompted you to take that shift? You know, that's a scary shift to go from that corporate job to that, oh, it's all about me. I'm the one and only.
What's interesting is that, so I released a book in the fall, and the book's called She Thinks Big, as you mentioned in the intro. And what I realized in writing that book was that I left that job because I was stuck in a very small box. So the joke became, if I said one more time, or I gave them one more great idea and they said, yes, we should definitely implement that, and then it didn't happen, I was going to leave. Because I'm an idea generator. I'm thinking beyond. I was trying to help these new entrepreneurs grow. and you have to get creative. So I was getting creative, and the kind of the corporate entity was, no, 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 we don't want to, that sounds too risky. I don't think you should do that. Yeah. And I was stuck in my own small box, and I kind of had it. So that is what prompted me to leave. And then I actually hired my own first coach at that point. And through sort of an exploration process with her, we figured out, why did I actually stay there for 10 years? There had to have been a reason. And sure. What did I love about it? And that's kind of how I came to the fact that I did love actually coaching them through that messy middle.
I love that. And, you know, that reminds me of the topic. So you just really paved the way, because what you just said is going to walk us right into what we're talking about today, which is ditching the drama around knowing your worth. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, when we fail to take that jump that we know we should take, yes, it's always where we're questioning our worth. So let's just dive into this and talk about this self-worth, you know, how does it sometimes support us, right? It's like a double, it's two-sided. So sometimes that could support us in some ways, but how is it holding us back and keeping us from making those big, bold, or leveling up, as you say, with your podcast, right?
Yeah.
Because I love too that your podcast is different than your book. Like, your book is about thinking big and your podcast about leveling up. And they're two different things, right? And in the middle is this drama of the knowing your worth, because 100%. Your mind is driving your thoughts and your dreams, but leveling up is a scary thing. And in the middle sits that part you have to fix. I love this. Let's go messy. Let's tell them everything they need to know.
Okay. So when we talk about worth, and I want you to also think about this as it truly could be like what you're worth in terms of pricing or fees. And it could be what you're worth kind of as a more conceptual type of worth. What it really comes down to is beliefs. Okay. Beliefs. And price is a number. Okay. It's a tangible. And what your salary is, or what someone's paying you, or how someone sees you, you have full control over tangibles, but you don't have full control over intangibles. Okay. So this is kind of, this is the beginning of the drama. And the framework I'm going to share with you, it can be used in multiple ways. It can be used about thinking about negotiating for something. It can be used for, oh, should I bring someone onto my team? It can be used for explaining to a client why the fee is the fee, all those things. But I really want you to think about this as it relates to you. Okay. So your belief about how much you're worth is really made up of three different beliefs. Okay. So you have three different beliefs. Belief number one is the belief you have in yourself as a provider of a service, or the maturity of your skill set, or what you offer the world. Okay. That's belief number one. Belief number two is what you believe, what you offer, or what you bring to the world is valuable. Like, you have something people want. Okay. And usually when I talk to most humans, they can put check marks next to those two things. They believe that they know what they're doing. They believe that what they offer is valuable. Okay. But the problem really comes in belief number three. Okay. The belief number three is believing in the maturity, the emotional and financial maturity of the person on the other side of the table, whether that's a client or customer, your friend across the street, okay, your spouse, okay, you have to believe that they are emotionally mature enough or financially mature enough to see that, okay? Now, when these three beliefs conflict, when they're at odds with each other, there's where the drama comes up. The drama is really created because there's a conflict between these three beliefs. And another fancy way to say that is cognitive dissonance, if we wanted to get all fancy. But really what's going on is that you start to question yourself. Oh my gosh. What will they pay me what I want to get paid? Will they think the book I wrote is amazing? Will they really think I can handle X, Y, and Z situation? So that dissonance, that conflict, that's where there's pain created, and pain because drama leads to pain. And the drama, it comes from like having too many thoughts about the fact that what you are selling is not an undercharge, but an overcharge, or the thought about you're just too much to handle for that person, whoever that friend is. Okay. So there's this cognitive dissonance, or there's this conflict between these three beliefs, which creates some drama and then honestly creates some pain. So I don't know what you think about all that, but
I'm going to tell you. So I love how you broke it down, because, you know, the first thing is the things you can control, right? Believing in yourself as a provider, believing in the service that you're providing, like those two things, they typically, we are good with that. But this last part, we don't have control over that.
No,
we can't convince these people to be emotionally or financially mature.
No.
And so I want to talk about, okay, let's say we check off one and two and we get to three and we're like, uh-oh, how do we handle that? Because this could really shut us down. And I 100%. Think like this is the recipe for imposter syndrome right here.
Yes. So right? There's a lot of fear in here. And imposter syndrome, 100%.
We start 100%. Doubting and questioning, because, and it's because the person on the other side of the table, as you mentioned, that has us go question ourselves now because of their response. And this is so bad. So let's talk about what happens when we have those first two and we get to the third one and we're like, eh, that didn't work out so well.
Right. So, all right. So it's kind of like, how do we clean this up? I like to think of
it
that way. How do we clean up the drama?
Yeah.
So number one, and it's pretty easy, if we are truly talking about price or fees or investment, that kind of thing, that tangible number, get out of your clients or customers or friends' wallet. Okay. Get out of their wallet. Stop asking yourself about your worth. Stop thinking that, you know, they can't afford you. Get out of their wallet, because really price or investment is about lifetime value. So you have to think about the lifetime value you're delivering to your client or customer or friendship. Okay. It's not just about the 6 months that you're working with someone. It's not just about, the service you're providing in their home. It's not just about the time you spend chit-chatting on a Friday night. What it's really about is lifetime value of working with someone, of being part of someone's life. So if you have starting to have drama about pricing or fees or worth, what's happening is that you're getting in your own way. Kind of go back to imposter syndrome, right? But I want you to take yourself to a place where you can see the lifetime value of what you're offering, where you can start thinking about what you're providing is honestly more of an undercharge and an over deliver, or you take the focus off of you and put the value on what you're giving. Or another way to think about this is kind of, what's the transformation that you're providing? Like, you know, when someone says, my life is so much better with you in it.
Yes.
Okay. Like, you're providing some sort of transformation for them, whether that's like helping them, you know, decorate a house or being their confidant, like, it doesn't matter. They're happy that you're in their life. So you have to think about the transformation you're providing, and you have to be curious about what you like thoughts that you need to have in order to counter that drama when it occurs. Like, what do I need to start thinking about? I probably do need to start thinking about what I'm giving them and how amazing it is, because they don't have access to something better for themselves without you. Okay.
Right.
So again, whether that's a service you're providing or a friendship, like, they can't access that unless you kind of open the doors to the portal, or open the doors to the new experience, or open the doors to new thoughts that you give them by having conversations with them.
I love that. Yeah, that's so good. And you know, the thing is that you are actually providing the courage they need to do it. So without without you, they won't do it anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
So if you don't offer that, okay, if you don't put yourself out there as a business, a service provider, or a friend, you're taking power away from that person on the other side of the table. Like, you're not giving them that opportunity to make that change, to have something or experiencing something better. Like, you're holding space for them. But if you're not out there, then there's no space to be held.
Right.
So I always think about, it's like I'm opening some floodgates for them in a great way. And if I keep them closed and I don't charge what I'm worth or show up like how I'm worth, then I'm keeping the doors closed. And if I do it just a little bit, it's like a little squeaky door and I can sneak in, that's just a teeny bit of transformation. But if it's a big door wide opening, then I'm kind of being big and bold, thinking bigger and showing up without all of this drama.
I love that so much, you know, yeah. And it's funny. It makes me think about, like, so I've had clients complain about some of the clients that they're working with, like they're just frustrated. And I said, raise your prices. And they're like, what? And I'm like, raise your prices. Because every time you raise your price, you get a different level of commitment, a different level of someone investing. And all of that drama on the lower end goes away.
Yep.
So even, you know, as you're saying this and giving people permission and courage to, you know, charge what they're worth and price themselves accordingly based on value and transformation. If you find that there's a lot of drama and that you're not enjoying the people you're working with, that's the way to attract the new ones. And
totally
I love what you're saying here. This is so good. So what else do we need to know around this topic that you find is just the most important thing?
Yep. So I think, you know, so number one is really thinking about this lifetime value and transformation you're providing them. Okay.
Sure.
Number two is really to think about how much time you're saving them and how much money you're saving them. So you're collapsing a timeline for them. You're saving them from trying to do something alone or like live it alone, right? So you're collapsing that whole timeline, and you're also probably saving them money in a sense, because you're getting them to move forward faster and they don't have to go searching for 100 answers. And they know if they trust you and your expertise or your friendship, they're going to get what they want. So your number two is, I want you to think about how much time and money you're saving them. Then the third thing is, I think the most impactful thing to think about is the price tag of energy. Okay. So what is the emotional impact? What's the internal impact if they fail or if they don't go for it or if they decide to just stay the same? Like, there is a huge energy impact there. And you are really giving them energy, right? So sometimes I say, like, I'm saving you the energy it takes to fight the head trash, the confusion, the indecision, the overwhelm of having, you know, a business or the life you want. It's just the energy it takes to navigate all of that without feeling guilty or less than. It's totally not worth it.
Nope. And that's that place is that what you're speaking of right now, that energy is the place where you have to raise your prices, right?
Yes.
Because people they'll put forth more effort when they've made more investment, right?
Yes. Like
their commitment is in direct proportion to their investment. So
100%.
Yeah. So you see less of that. I love you're talking about head trash. Oh, we could do this all day long. What would you say is the number one common theme that runs through the clients that come to you? What is the one biggest thing?
I think the one biggest thing is confusion. Well, I think the one biggest thing is really that they don't feel legitimate. Like, They need to know more, do more, experience more. They need to be less confused and have everything all buttoned up. Okay. And that's getting in their way. When really, they probably, if we just sort of sift through things, they know the answers or they can figure it out. They just need a guide or a Sherpa to kind of help them through that.
Yeah. So I love that so much. Yeah. Oh, that's so good, because that is a belief. Everything has to be perfect. They have to have everything up and running and the landing pages and the website and the domains and all the things. And they can't start until it's perfect. The lights are never going to be green.
No,
I love
never going to be.
Never, never, ever. You got to, I said this in a podcast interview I did, you've got to be willing to run some red lights, because they're not ever going to be green. And if you don't run a few red lights, you'll never go. And this is so, so good. Oh my gosh. All right. Let's talk about your book. Oh my gosh. She Thinks Big. I think you just proved that right now in this conversation. So tell us about the book. What's a little just about what it is and why people should read it?
So I write it really in a very conversational way. And I also think it's one of those books where you don't have to start in chapter one and read every page in order. There's great information if you just flip open to the middle. But I do divide it into three parts. I call them big mindset, big plan, and big results, because you do need the right mindset to create big success. You need to have that big thinking. You do need to have a plan, right? You've got to have a plan. You need to have some systems in place. And then what happens is it all comes together and you have these big results and you kind of, there's that sort of next level of growth. Oh no, now what do I do?
Yeah.
So that's how I've divided the book, but it's a great book for anyone at any stage of growth, because I do really describe how all of this, the messy middle, gets smaller as you, is always there, but it gets smaller as you grow, because it's relative to the whole, all the other stuff that's swirling around. So it's still there, but relative to everything else, it gets smaller and a lot easier to handle.
I love that. And we get better, right?
So we totally get better.
And so we're able to handle it better. So even it just sometimes appears smaller, right? But we're better. And I love that. And I love your, you know, three parts of big.
Yes.
Oh, I love this so much. So tell us about the book tour.
So I am going on a book tour. It's really fan-based, I would call it. So I am visiting cities across the U.S. where I've got some, like a fan club, I'll call it. And the book tour isn't a signing thing. I mean, I will sign the books, but I really want it to be a learning opportunity, but also a place where some amazing women can gather and kind of a unique networking opportunity. This is not like getting people together for a BNI meeting or a PTO meeting or anything like that. This is like getting together some really big, amazing thinkers in one room and creating some connection. So tour is kicking off at the beginning of April, and you can check out all the cities that I am going to, at Andrea's with an S, links with an S.com, which is perfect. Really the place to go for everything.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And you also have a few other things. You have a free quiz. So let's start there. Tell us this is about.
I have a quiz. So if you're someone that's wondering, you know, why does my business cake feel chaotic, or why does my life feel chaotic? There's two quizzes that I have that can help you really organize or figure out what's going wrong with your business and why you're not getting things done, maybe just in general. So you can access both of those quizzes too at andreaslink.com.
I love it. And last but certainly not least, you have a 3-day, 3-part.
Yes.
Yes, a course coming. So tell us a little bit about that. Who is that for, and why they need to be there?
So this is for the person who, you know, it's called Design Your Ideal Summer. So I don't know about you, but beginning of summer, we all have these expectations that maybe we're going to attend the concert in the park. We're going to sit, you know, outside and watch a movie. And sometimes by the, you know, September, October rolls around, you're wondering, I didn't get to do any of that. Why not? What happened? What got in the way? So this is just a 3-part workshop where I share with you some tips and techniques the keys really to what I call designing your ideal summer that works for you. Also, summer sometimes is a time where we start to worry about everybody else. Like, oh, I need to visit these people, or your kids are home and you want to make sure that you're giving them all the things they need. What about you? What about you? So design your ideal summer.
I love that. I love it. Awesome. Okay. So let's tell our listeners one more time. I know we gave them the links, but let's tell them where the best place is to find you.
So the best place to find me in terms of online is Instagram, probably, or LinkedIn. I'm trying to do a better job on LinkedIn. I don't know. And you can access my handles through this Andrea's with an S, links with an S.com. You can access the book there. You can access the quizzes, the Design Your Ideal Summer. You can access my, I have a podcast too called Time to Level Up. You can find all of that at andreaslinks.com.
Beautiful. Awesome. Oh my gosh, this is so great. I love this conversation about ditching drama, messy middles, and all the things in between. Hey, I hope you're enjoying this episode. And just before we get to the good stuff, right? The good, the bad, and the ugly, I have this great announcement for you. We are starting the Pod Power Hour, which is a virtual event that's going to happen on Wednesdays at noon Eastern. And so if you've ever thought about having a podcast, if you have questions, if you are a podcaster and you want to come and meet other podcasters and learn what's new, what's happening, tips and tricks to be better at this amazing passion of podcasting that you have, we would love for you to join us. We're going to have experts there that are going to be sharing their genius. It's going to be amazing. So, and if you're a host and you want to come meet some amazing people that could be potential guests for you on your show, come on out. What a great way to get exposure. Be sure to check it out on my website at CammieLehman.com, as well as follow me on Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn. Whatever is your favorite platform, we will have registration there. You do need to register to attend. And it is on Zoom. So super simple, just 1 hour every other Wednesday. We start on May 4th. So don't miss out. Get registered today. We can't wait to see you there.
You have moved from fighting cancer to discovering how to live beyond it. But what now? With so many emotional side effects still unknown, as a new survivor, you find yourself in a void as you navigate through the isolation, fear, and an uncertain future that can overshadow you and your family for years to come. Instead of focusing on the uncertainty of cancer, consider how strong and determined you are, and think of the strength demonstrated by those who stood beside you through it all. Consider this. You now get to choose who you want to be, and what your intentional, fulfilled life can look like. You made it through treatment. We can help you define yourself as a survivor. We're here to help you through this moment, to walk beside you as you shift your mindset from counting the days of life to creating a legacy. For more information, visit www.adventuretherapyfoundation.org or contact us at info@adventurefound.org.
You know, on She's Invincible, we promise our listeners that we're going to bring them fierce entrepreneurs and we're going to spotlight their expert zone of genius. And you've done that so well today. So thank you so much. Our goal is always to bring inspiration, education, and encouragement to our listeners and to help them to keep going on their journey to success. But we're not done, because we also promised them that while we're spotlighting these fierce entrepreneurs, that we're also going to pull back the curtain and we're going to share the good, the bad, and the ugly of that journey. See, everyone, they hear you talk and they think, oh, she's so confident. She's got this figured out. Nothing's messy. There's no drama. It's all big thinking, right? Right. Oh, no. No one knows the price you paid for the success that you enjoy today. And when we make it look so easy. And so our goal is to share and be authentic, to say, yes, like I am successful, but this is the price I paid. And are you willing to pay the price for for your success. So are you ready to tell some fun stories?
I'm ready.
Awesome. Let's go. So we're going to start with the good. Tell us a story about the good or the greatest part of your journey so far.
I think the good or the greatest part was when I finally realized that it wasn't necessarily about all the things I needed to do in my business. It was really about what I needed to think about. And I was only going to grow as fast in a business as I grew personally. I really had to figure out who I was. That's kind of been an exciting journey that I didn't really expect to have. So I think that's really the best part.
I love that. Oh, yeah. That's so good. Yeah. And I think we are so busy. We're doers, right? We're so busy doing, keeping busy, because I think sometimes busy equals success. And that's not true at all.
That is not true.
Yeah, I've had some of the most success not working at all. So, right? Taking a vacation. Yeah, yes. We know that's not true. Okay, so the next story we want to talk about is the bad. We'll save the ugly for last, but share a story about the bad or, you know, not so fun part of the journey.
Not so fun. I think is when I've gotten into sort of a scarcity mode and wondered what I was worth. And I think at one point, kind of about, I don't know, maybe 2 years into my business, I started to really change the structure of the business and what I was offering, and kind of going through that and having some months that I felt like I didn't know what I was doing and was I making the right decisions, and you know, the phone wasn't ringing, that kind of thing. That's bad. And then the worst is that you just don't show up. Like you start not showing up for yourself. And then you really don't show up for the person on the other side of the phone when they do call. So I think that sort of transition period, which had to happen, was kind of bad.
Mm.
It wasn't good. It wasn't good. But it's like inevitable. So it's kind of an interesting conundrum.
Yeah. All right. Tell us about the ugly part of your journey.
So I think the most recent ugly part was when I did release this book in the fall. And I don't know if you've ever written a book, there's a lot of work that goes into it. It was way more than I could have ever imagined. You know, my publisher put it out there. It's out there. And then within 1 week, if you went on Amazon and you typed in the title of the book, up popped 4 AI generated workbooks. So 4 geniuses out there, really, because they were making money on this, had taken the book and put it probably into ChatGPT and generated workbooks. And I wasn't ready for that, because that then created a whole bunch of other decisions. And I was kind of over making decisions. You know, how was I going to deal with this? And what was I going to do? Was I going to create my own workbook? Now, luckily, I have a workbook. I had a workbook in the works. It's out there now. But at the same time, we were moving into a new house, which we built. This all happened in 30 days. Released the book, these AI-generated workbooks, not planning on that. And we moved into a new house, which we'd been building for over 2 years. So I got to this decision fatigue point. Like, I couldn't do it. I couldn't make one more decision. So I started to decide to surrender, I'll call it. I said to my husband, you need to make every house decision. I can't do anymore. When we did move in, I hired unpackers and organizers to just decide, honestly, like, I don't know where anything goes. This is a new house. There's no spot. You know, like, where do you put this? I don't know, because I've never lived here before. So they made tons of decisions for me. And I kind of got my feet back on the ground, right? I kept going, like I kept, you know, my business kept running. I kept doing what I was doing, but any of this extraneous, I'll call it, or not normal decision making created kind of an ugly situation.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with this whole decision fatigue and, you know, or otherwise known as burnout, right? There's a few different things that we can call that. But what are some of the things like that you noticed in yourself that like were alarms, like, oh girl, you're going down. Like, yep. What was happening around you that you were knowing, like, I can't keep doing this?
So I think some very obvious signs were that my aura ring, I don't know if you know what an aura ring is. This ring.
It monitors your sleep.
I was not getting a good sleep score. I was up in the middle of the night, and I am not an up in the middle of the night person. I was, you know, from 2 to 4 a.m. I was like scrolling. That totally not me. I did notice that my eating was like kind of out of control. I noticed that I wasn't thinking. So this is kind of an interesting thing. Like, I just was sort of going through motions, like doing the action part.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole thinking had disappeared. It was truly, and there's a good part of that because it was sort of automatic. Things were happening, but I just couldn't put the brain power towards anything. So I just truly tried to get through the day with actions.
So you weren't present then? You were like present. No. You were like outside looking in.
Well, then it was, oh, aren't you enjoying this? Like, you should be, this should be amazing. Like, you launched a book and you built it. You're in a house. Come on. This should all, you must be thrilled. Like, maybe intellectually, if I thought about it, yes. But in the moment, no.
Yeah. Energy wise.
Yeah.
It zaps your energy. Yeah. Yep. There's so much that goes into that, the emotions and.
Yes.
And even in building a house and knowing you're leaving the one you're in and letting go Like embracing the new and like, as we talk about the messy middle, like all of those things are big growth things, but they all take a lot of courage and it's very emotional, those processes, and they can take you down. So what would you say? I mean, I love what you said about even just hiring unpackers and like telling your husband, like, you figure out what color cabinets you want. Right.
Right.
I can't do this.
I really had to like dive deep into support systems.
Yeah.
Kind of almost like life support systems.
No joke.
But we had these movers move everything into the garage. And I left for 2 weeks. I actually was doing work related stuff, but I was gone. And these unpacker people for 2 weeks, they just had free rein. I don't know. Go in the garage, pick a box, figure it out. So I let go of and kind of surrendered, I'll call it, to a lot of that decision making process with work stuff. I just whatever I said, like the workbook. So I had a workbook in the works. I just was not going to release it with the book. I was going to wait a little, be strategic, wait a little while. Oh, no. I just said to the graphic designer and the book designers, like, just go for it. Whatever you guys think, you know what the book looks like. Here's the content, create the workbook.
Oh my gosh. So you really did just surrender. Turn everything over. I love that. I love that whole art of letting go, right? And the surrender, because as scary as it sounds, there's so much freedom that comes as soon as you do that, right? As soon as you let go. So 100%. What would you say to somebody who now they've just listened to this and they're like, oh, she's talking to me. I know I need to surrender. What are the first steps for somebody who's an absolute control freak and has never done that before?
Well, it kind of goes back to like what you're worth. Okay.
Yeah. So, this is good.
Right. It kind of goes back to that in a sense that I could have said, oh, I can do all this myself. Like, I'm capable, which is totally true. Like, I can unpack boxes and I can, right. But it wasn't worth it to me because I felt like I was worth more at that point. Like my own sanity was worth it. Right. Yeah. And I had drama around letting go of all of this. Oh, I don't like, should I do this? Should I not do this? But once I sort of cleaned that up and just made the decision to move forward, there's another concept that I talk about a lot in my book, interested versus committed. So you can be interested in letting go of these things, but are you committed to letting them go? Totally different. Mm-hmm. So I had to commit to let it go and trust, kind of be a big thinker, trust that this was the right decision, kind of access the future you who already, you know, was in the house and was back to normal and go for it.
Yeah. And I mean, if the glasses weren't in the right cabinet, you could move them, right?
Exactly.
But you could do it after you got yourself together and you could think clearly.
Yes. Yes.
Oh my gosh, this is so good. So good. And one of the things you said was, you know, digging into that support, right?
Yep.
And I can't say this enough. We don't wait until you need it. You need to create the village now. You need right. those support people. Too many times I see people wait until they're losing it. And then they're like, they have nothing set up. They don't have people to give them the support they need. And now they're, you know, half gone trying to create this community for themselves. Yes. Do it now. Do it now. Right.
Right. Right. Right.
Yeah.
Don't wait. Don't wait.
No.
Right.
No, what kind of support system would you say every entrepreneur needs? Like, what are some of the main characters that play in this support community?
I think you've got to have someone to do the things that you don't want to do, which is mm-hmm. a lot of the admin back office stuff. I mean, just let go of that, give it to someone else. I do think you need some sort of coaching type of support system where you can really flush out what you're thinking, what your ideas are, really more of a like a mindset type of someone to ground you. You do need systems and thought that could be software, that could be processes and procedures, that can look like a lot of different things. But I think if you're gonna, you need that. That's where you should be spending your most valuable resources. Your time, money, and energy should be spent on getting the support you need so that you can put your own time, money, and energy back to doing what you really want to do, which is probably not all that stuff I just mentioned.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. I love that. What great advice. This has been so amazing. Is there anything else you feel like you don't want to say goodbye and then be like, oh, I should have said this? Yeah. Anything else you want to leave them with?
I just, two things. What I just remembered, I did just release, I think, this week episode of Time to Level Up is all about me releasing all of that unpacking and decision fatigue and all that. So you can go listen to Time to Level Up. But what I do also want to think about, leave you with is, you know, if you talk about the word invincible. So if you want to be invincible, you need to think beyond today. Like being invincible is aligned with thinking beyond today. It's really aligned with going to, it, like having a vision of where you want to go. That creates invisible.
That is amazing. And would you say that's the answer to the question that I asked you? What makes you invincible?
Yeah, I would say I'm trying, doesn't always work because I'm human, but I do really try to kind of ask the Andrea of a year from now, what would she do today? And take the advice from her. So
that is beautiful. Oh my gosh, I love it. Well, thank you so much for being here, for sharing so much, for all that you're putting out in the world and the impact that you're making on the others out there that need you. And just for so being so authentic, you know, and just being able to share and help us to encourage all of our listeners and everyone whose ears hear this episode of She's Invincible. And most of all, thank you for being invincible.
Thank you for having me.
And to our listeners, I don't know where you are in your life or your business, but if you're face down on the ground right now, get back up. Just get back up. I know it's hard. I know you think you can't do it, but we're here today to tell you, you can. Trust us. Just get back up. You can do anything because you are invincible too. Thank you for joining us today. If you were inspired or learned something new, please follow the show, submit a rating and review, and share us with your friends. If you would like to chat to see if you can attract your ideal client and monetize your business through podcasting, please book a free call with me at CammieLehman.com. I can't wait to meet you.